Hello and welcome to the Ice Guys. This is the show that takes you into the world of the National Hockey League. Every game, every day, from a betting perspective. With pro sports handicappers, Ian Cameron, Alex P. Smith, and various guests from the world of hockey and sports betting. And now, here's your host, Ian Cameron.
Welcome to the Ice Guys, a Beantown Friday edition of the Ice Guys for Friday, May 31st, presented by Boston Hemp, Inc. Ian Cameron with you. Hoping to have Alex B. Smith momentarily. Jimmy Murphy on the radar as well, potentially for the show today, as we get you ready for Game 5 of the Western Conference Final between the Dallas Stars and Edmonton Oilers. Pivotal Game 5, much like it was last night for the Rangers and the Panthers. We'll recap that game in just a bit, plus give you the betting preview as we always do for tonight's game. Looking forward to it. Before we do that, I do want to shout out, in case he joins us later, and he's going to try to, and that's Jimmy. Jimmy Murphy's moving on to, well, what we think and we hope is greener pastures. He announced earlier today that he will not be reporting for the Bruins, at least for Boston hockey now, moving forward. This will be his last. He's wrapping things up with his tenure working for Boston hockey now. From what I understand, and Jimmy made it sound like that he's still going to be reporting on the Bruins moving forward, probably for a different group or a different entity. And obviously, he's still going to carry on doing his daily podcast with Pierre McGuire, the eye test, Monday to Friday. So we wish Jimmy all the best in his next venture, and I'm sure he'll do great things with it like he always does. One thing I can tell you about our guy, Jimmy Murphy, he works hard. He definitely does, and he loves doing what he does. So he will be successful, I guarantee it, wherever he ends up next. Let's look back on last night. It's Rangers-Panthers, Game 5, and it was yet another tremendous game in this series. It really was. It was another tense game, another really well-played game by both teams last night. And I think when you look at that situation in the game and how it unfolded last night, you know, there were some positives for the Rangers. At the end of the night, obviously, you lose 3-2, and now you're facing elimination, down 3-2 in the series as the scene will shift back to South Florida for Game 6 on Saturday night with the Rangers facing elimination. But I will say this, early in that hockey game, I thought the Rangers had some of their best, you know, pressure, puck possession. You know, they actually had the puck. They actually spent significant amount of time in the offensive zone, especially early in that hockey game last night, the first period. So there's definitely some positives for the Rangers. They actually scored the first goal of the game, Chris Kreider on that shorthanded opportunity to make it 1-0 for the New York Rangers. But as we have seen so often in this series, it's almost like the Panthers just need maybe sometimes a little bit of time, you know, to get their legs under them, to get to their game, to really start to wear on their opponent and wear down their opponent. You know, we even saw it a little bit in Game 4, the previous game in Florida, where the Rangers got a 1-0 lead in the first period. They scored the first goal in that game as well. But the series has really started to take on a very familiar pattern, and it's one you're not going to like if you're a Rangers fan, where Florida has started to lean on the body. You know, the forecheck just gets in on the Rangers and hems them in. It wears them down physically. And there's just, again, last night, second period, third period of that hockey game, as the Panthers were once again starting to assert themselves in that game, that, you know, it was just losing way too many puck battles. You know, the battles for ice, the battles for time and space, the battles along the boards, the Panthers were winning those battles. And it's been basically kind of a familiar refrain, you know, that we have seen pretty much throughout this entire series. And we started to see it again last night. So, you know, there was no panic. It was obviously another terrific goal by Gustav Forsling as well. I don't think there's a player in this series that's done more to get their name out there to the public and say, here I am, I'm pretty fucking good, than what we've seen from Gustav Forsling in this series. He's been phenomenal for the Florida Panthers on their blue line. And I'm not talking about the fact he scored two very important goals for the Panthers in this series. He tied it up 4-4 in game 3. I know the Rangers ended up winning that game in overtime, but he scored a big goal there. He got the big one last night to tie it at 1 after Kreider got the shorty. It's his defensive play. It's blocking shots. It's making the right read. It's getting the rush started. Very good puck mover out of the back end for the Florida Panthers. I just love everything I've seen about his game. And for a blue line that for, you know, the last long period of time, this is a blue line where Ekblad has gotten a lot of the attention and a lot of the accolades. Brandon Montour has gotten a lot of the attention and accolades, you know, especially last year, you know, with the way he ended up playing on that blue line. But I think as the playoffs have gone along here, Gustav Forsling has definitely opened the eyes of hockey fans everywhere and saying, you know what, I'm turning into one hell of a defenseman in this league. And he continued to show it again last night for them in that victory for the Panthers. Third period, you know, Florida with the 16-10 edge in shots. In fact, talked about how the Rangers had a very good first period. From the second and the third period combined, 29-16 shots on goal in favor of Florida. Again, the shots on goal, shot attempts, I should say, differential in that game also got larger as the last two periods rolled along. Just another case of, you know, Florida just wearing on the Rangers throughout this series. And they are punishing Adam Fox. Adam Fox is getting hit every time he goes back to get the puck in his own zone. They know he's a they know they want to target him. And I think the Rangers know the Panthers are trying to target him. They're trying to wear him out, trying to wear him down. And you continue to see he's not playing like the Adam Fox in the regular season. He's not. And it's been an issue because he's definitely the Rangers' best and most important defenseman. And, you know, if he's not playing well, it puts more pressure on Lindgren and Miller and Schneider and Trouba and Gustafson. So I think it's definitely something you definitely are seeing from the Panthers is a targeted plan of attack here, you know, to go get after Adam Fox and make his life difficult here in this series. And we have seen it. So the Panthers end up, you know, 2-1. Anton Lundell, you know, a nice go-ahead goal. It did take a deflection. And for a guy that we've criticized, and I have in this series, Vladimir Tarasenko, we've talked about it. He's been very, very non-existent at times in this series. He drove the front of the net and opened up that opportunity for Lundell to score that go-ahead goal for the Panthers in the third period. Sam Bennett puts it away into the empty net. Huge for me as the bargain bin special of the night cashes in for me. Plus 440 was the price with Sam Bennett to get the bargain bin special to score a goal last night. So to see him get one into the empty twine was absolutely outstanding. Plus 440 again, the price on the Sam Bennett bargain bin special for me yesterday on the show. So we cashed that. Lafreniere does score to make it 3-2, but too little, too late. And if there's ever one picture or one sequence in this Eastern Conference final that just perfectly illustrates and perfectly encapsulates what we are seeing in this series in terms of the physicality, in terms of how Florida's been harder on pucks, they've been winning more battles. They've been winning more one-on-one battles, on battles along the boards. Florida's been winning more of them as well. If you want to know, just take an image in this series and just, wow, that's pretty much a perfect illustration of the way the series has gone so far. Watch those last 10, 15 seconds of the game last night. Here's the Rangers down 3-2. They've taken Igor Shesterkin out of the net for the extra attacker. They just made it 3-2. Now they got to get another one to try to tie the game and send it to overtime. Puck goes around the boards to the one side. And there's Nico Mikkola for the Panthers just eating the puck along the boards and just wedging it along the boards and trapping it there. And here's like 3, 4, or 5 Rangers in on the boards trying to get the puck from him so that they can throw one last shot toward Sergei Bobrovsky to have a chance to tie it. And they can't get the fucking puck from him. And Mikkola just basically kills the clock, you know, keeps that puck, you know, basically, you know, stapled along the boards, and the Rangers can't get it from him. Game over, and the Florida Panthers end up winning 3-2. Tells you all you need to know. Battles won for the Florida Panthers in the physicality department, in the toughness department and battles lost for the New York Rangers in those same two departments. I don't know if you can sum it up more than that. And that tells you all you need to know, I think, with the, I think it was just very, very apropos, very fitting the way that game ended last night. There's just Florida's physicality has been far too much, you know, for the New York Rangers. And it's funny that we're saying far too much and the series is still 3-2. I mean, the Rangers, you know, if you win a game six and you win a game seven, you can still win the series. It just feels like they're climbing uphill right now, the New York Rangers. And this is not going to be an easy feat, because the more I see this series play out, the more it looks like they're wearing down, you know, under this Florida team. And the Florida Panthers are just, they're just wearing them out physically. They're winning battles. And they're also, Igor Shesterkin was great again last night. It's just amazing how many blunders with the puck the Rangers have made in front of them, and how difficult, you know, that they've made life on them. No, Kenny Wu, you're right. The series isn't over yet. You know, it's still, it's 3-2. I mean, the Rangers have to think of it as, we win two in a row, we win this series. How many times this year have we won two games in a row? A lot. Obviously, the President's Trophy winners. Best record in the regular season, no doubt. But that's what they have to convince themselves. I don't believe they're going to win two in a row. I don't even know if they're going to win one in a row. I don't even know if this series is going to get back to Madison Square Garden at this rate for Game 7. Obviously, we'll talk more about that tomorrow on Saturday's show, but they look like a very, very physically beaten down team right now, the Rangers. And somehow, some way, they are going to have to muster something for Game 6 tomorrow night against the Florida Panthers. We'll see if they can do. From a betting standpoint, last night was a pretty good game overall for me. We had the bargain bin special, Sam Bennett plus 440 cashing in. The best bet, I'm telling you what, this same game parlay approach here with taking each team at plus 2.5 goals and the under 6.5, it happened again last night. It did get a little dicey there when it got to 3-1 Florida, because there's always the chance Florida pops another into the empty net 4-1 and it busts that SGP. But at the same point in time, you know, it's been cashing way more often than not, especially in these game fives, sixes, and sevens in these Stanley Cup playoff series, where the longer the series goes, then it gets tighter. The goals are harder to come by. We see more lower scoring hockey and we see closer games. And again, last night, my best bet, we hit it and we cashed it with the Panthers plus 2.5, Rangers plus 2.5, and under 6.5 at plus 100, plus 105 was the price with that. BetMGM, you know, usually you can get probably the best price with BetMGM for those same game parlay looks. So we cashed that. Matt Robinson, who was with me yesterday, he had Florida team total over 2.5 as his best bet. He ended up cashing in with that. I give Matt credit, because his bargain bin was a very special of the night pick, was a very, very unique selection. He went with Florida puck line, minus 1.5 goals, and under 6.5 combined at plus 310. Pretty good price with that. Florida puck line and under 6.5, plus 310. And I'm telling you what, he was this close to winning that. That's unfortunate. I thought he deserved a better fate with that, but nevertheless, I liked the pick. I thought it was a good pick. It was worth it, I think, at the plus 310 price. And like I said, Matt was very close to cashing it. So it was an overall good profitable night with the Panthers and Rangers game five last night. The scene shifts now back to Florida for game six, which again, of course, will take place on Saturday night. I believe it's ABC tomorrow night. The big 8 p.m. Eastern Saturday night ABC time slot for game six tomorrow night between the Rangers and the Panthers. And we will see, obviously, if the Rangers have it in them. Won't be easy. And it kind of feels like they're running on fumes right now, the Rangers. But we will see if they have it in them to force a game seven, which would be Monday night at Madison Square Garden. All right. Alex is just waiting for his computer to restart. He'll be here momentarily. Let's move to game five tonight in the Western Conference. West final, game five. It is the Edmonton Oilers taking on the Dallas Stars. Again, we're looking right now at Dallas minus 130 or so as home favorites here in game five tonight. The total 5.5 shaded to the over. There are 5.5s out there at some books, and there are sixes out there at others. So make sure you shop around here when it comes to this total as far as which side of it you like. Because if you like the under, there's really no reason you shouldn't be able to find a six. And if you like the over, there's really no reason you shouldn't be able to find a 5.5. So again, make sure that you shop around here for the best price with the total that you like, whether it's over or under. So now we see this has been a very, very wild series. It's been wild as that we've seen crazy period to period swings where one team's looked awesome in one period and then the other team has looked great in the next period. We've even seen swings, wild swings between the difference in how these teams play inside the same period. And I go back to game four in the first period with that, where Dallas jumps out 2-0. It couldn't have started worse for the Edmonton Oilers. I mean, Wyatt Johnston gets them on the board in the first minute. And then they add to it with Esa Lindell's goal that goes in off the keister of Darnell Nurse in front of the net to make it 2-0 Stars. And it looked at that point like, holy shit, Edmonton is in fucking trouble here. What a brutal start coming off the game three where they had the piss poor second period with a 2-0 lead. Dallas gets those three quickies in the second and they end up winning game three. And you think at the beginning of game four, uh-oh, Dallas is in trouble in this game. Dallas is in trouble in this series. They could be gone in five. I started to have thoughts like that when it was 2-0 for Dallas at the beginning of game four. But credit to them. You know, they got one opportunity down 2-0. They didn't have many. Dallas was all over them. And then all of a sudden, they get a chance. Perry drives the net. Good chance on Ottinger. And then unfortunately for Dallas, Ryan Suter runs his own goalie over. And he takes Jake Ottinger completely out of the play. And there's Ryan McLeod right there to slam home the rebound. And from that moment, when Edmonton made it 2-1 in the first period, it got life into the team. It got life into the building. And it was a much different Edmonton Oilers team from that point forward. And they certainly played like it. They were very strong after that. They end up tying it 2-2 later in the first period. And it just felt like it was Edmonton's game pretty much from that point on. You know, Dallas had their moments where they had some chances and a little bit of pressure in the O-zone and peppered Skinner. But for the most part, Edmonton was, you know, getting stronger as that game went on. They struck for the two quick ones, the shorthanded goal on the 2-on-1. Janmark, it was a excellent goal. It was kind of felt like a deflator for Dallas. And then if you didn't think that was the deflator, Leon Draisaitl a couple minutes after that to make it 4-2 Edmonton. Definitely felt like that was the goal that took a lot of wind out of the sails for Dallas. And keep in mind, Edmonton played one of their best defensive periods of the season, I thought, in the third period. You know, and for a team we've criticized at times, you know, their ability to hold on to leads, protect leads, play that good team defense, they certainly did that in the third period, as good as it gets, and they end up winning 5-2 in game four. And to make matters even more, concerning for Dallas, it's not just you lost and, you know, you really didn't have that push in the third period. We all know about what happened with Chris Tanev in that game. He ends up blocking a shot off the ankle, leaves the game, hobbles back to the dressing room, seen in a walking boot yesterday at the Edmonton airport, going back to home to Dallas for game five tonight. Everyone, you know, interested in, is he going to play? Is he not going to play here tonight? The latest info we have straight from head coach Peter DeBoer is, he's a game time decision, and Peter DeBoer's optimistic. That's the exact word he used, right from his straight from his mouth. Optimistic that Chris Tanev is going to play tonight for the Dallas Stars, and I'm believing he's playing. He is a fucking tough son of a bitch. This guy, we all know it. You've got to basically take a hacksaw to this guy's leg and take him out to get him out of the lineup, to get him out of a hockey game. He's that kind of player. He'll play through almost anything. You got to drag his ass off the ice, especially in a Stanley Cup playoff series, to get him out of there. So from that standpoint, don't put it past him to be out there and in the lineup for game five. Now you can talk all you want. Is he going to be 100% healthy? That's another story. I'd take 75 to 80% Chris Tanev over not having him at all. That much I know, because he is that much of a difference maker. When he's on his game defensively, he can be a human eraser against the likes of Connor McDavid in particular, as he was in game two, which I thought was his absolute best game of the series by far, in that victory that they had in game two. He's been very good all along. So, like I said, it's going to be interesting to see how, if he plays tonight, and if he does play, you know, how's the mobility going to be? Because it is around that, you know, tender ankle area. You know, let's see how that goes. But I know they would gladly take a 70 to 80% Chris Tanev over not having him at all. So we'll wait and see. They do have a plan in mind if Chris Tanev does not play tonight and if he is not able to return. And it's very interesting that, you know, they've got Nils Lundqvist. They've got Derek Pouliot. They've got a couple of journeyman veteran defensemen they could go to. Well, Nils Lundqvist's still pretty young, but he's been in the organization for a bit. Derek Pouliot's a veteran defenseman, but they haven't always loved Lundqvist's play, especially in his own end defensively. And Pouliot, I don't know if he's going to be a big boost that they need, especially if a guy in a bell cow like Chris Tanev doesn't play. There's talk that this young first-round pick prospect of theirs, Leon Bixell, might be the guy that gets the opportunity tonight to play on the blue line and play in his first NHL game. It would be his NHL debut for the Dallas Stars if Tanev doesn't play. And from all indications, Leon Bixell is going to be the guy that ends up playing here for Dallas and making his NHL debut in Game 5 of the Western Conference Final if Chris Tanev doesn't play here tonight. So it's going to be interesting to see if he's able to be in there here tonight for the Dallas Stars. That seems to be the plan right now going into this game. So it'll be interesting to see if they go to that young kid, basically, and he plays tonight, if indeed Chris Tanev can't go. So that's going to be a fascinating thing to watch here tonight. Up front, Peter DeBoer did hint at changes, but I don't know if we have much info about what those changes are going to be. But he did hint there's going to be some changes tonight to the lineup. Look, Pete's made great adjustments. I just don't want him to go overboard with the lineup changes. Nothing radical here. All right? Nothing radical here. Yeah, game four, very sour taste the way that game ended. That start after the first 10 minutes, and then it was just not very good for most of that game from Dallas from that point on. So I understand the frustration and maybe DeBoer looking to shake things up tonight, but I wouldn't want to go overboard with too many changes is what I'm saying. This has still been a damn good hockey team, and we know how good they've been off a loss, how good they've been with, you know, things that they're, you know, murkiest this year and things that they're most concerning. They've consistently responded to adversity. They've responded to tough situations. So, like I said, it'll be interesting to see what the lineup looks like. We really didn't get any sort of insight from Peter DeBoer. He's keeping his bullets close to the vest, if you will, here for game five tonight. As far as this one goes, look, you look at this Dallas Stars team, and I know they've been very good on the road, been so-so at home. But it's been one of those series where, you know, momentum hasn't always carried over from one game to the next. It's important to remember that. This is a game, too, with based on where I'm at with my, you know, Dallas Stars futures to win the West and to win the Stanley Cup. You know, I don't feel it's an urgent need to take Dallas tonight, and I'm not going to. But I wouldn't be totally trustworthy of Edmonton either. You know, we've seen Dallas every time. I'm trying to think back, but I keep remembering the games where they really didn't have a very good game, and they've been more often than not coming back with that, you know, fire in their nostrils, if you will, the very next time out. And I still think their depth up front matters. Obviously, their blue line depth is a concern if Tanev doesn't go, and it, you know, that takes a little bit of a hit. Broberg, to Chris Knobloch's credit, he pushed all the right buttons in game four. Corey Perry and Ryan McLeod coming in to the lineup and playing with Draisaitl. That was a great line for them. Great chemistry they had. They were phenomenal. Those two moves paid off for him, putting Philip Broberg, a little bit more mobility, a little bit more puck movement for Edmonton on the blue line. That paid off for him as well. But now let's see if they can keep that going here on the road tonight. It'll be fascinating to see if they can. For me, the clear choice for me as far as how to bet this game and approach it from an individual game perspective is, you know, just sticking with what's been working pretty well for us here in these playoffs, especially in these later games, the SGP. I do believe deep down inside tonight, look, I was on the over in the last two games in Edmonton in this series, and we have definitely seen some higher scoring games the last two between these two teams in Edmonton. But I do think here tonight it's going to be a situation where it gets tight again. You know, it gets a little bit more defensive going into this game tonight. You know, I think a pretty good chance we see, you know, a little bit tighter checking game. You know, the stakes are ratcheting up a little bit now because we're talking about a series that's all tied up to two games apiece. So I think when you look at the way this sets up tonight, I think we're going to get back to more of that kind of game we saw in this series in game one and in game two between the Oilers and the Stars. And I think that sorry about that. Looks like I think we're back. Sorry about that. Looks like we had a little disruption there, but yeah, we're back. So what I was saying was, look, I cashed the overs in game three and in game four in Edmonton. We definitely saw, obviously, in those two games, higher scoring games. And then the two games in Dallas were both unders. I think that's more likely we're going to get back to a little bit more tighter checking. Again, the stakes are higher now. We're down to a best of three series here with the Stars and the Oilers. We've seen a very distinct pattern here and throughout these playoffs. You get these series to game five and beyond. It's not always the time you want to be betting toward overs this deep into the series. So I'm going to look towards same game parlay here. Edmonton plus 2.5. Dallas plus 2.5 and under 6.5. Old reliable, as I'm now starting to call it. It's just been so good for me as far as these playoffs and this approach. I think it's going to be one of those games tonight. I think Skinner will be solid. And more importantly, I think Jake Oettinger is going to have a hell of a game. I think Jake Oettinger is going to play one of his better games. We talk about how good he's been off a loss, off a subpar game. He wasn't bad in game four, but he was not phenomenal. You know, either. But then again, the whole team was that way for the Dallas Stars in game four. So it's Oilers plus 2.5, Stars plus 2.5, under 6.5, plus 120 at BetMGM for that. A pretty good price, if you ask me. And you could even, I might do? I might do two different SGPs instead of putting the same amount or just one amount on the SGP with the under 6.5. I'll probably go with the under set just for a little, just to be extra safe, under 7.5 with Oilers plus 2.5 and Stars plus 2.5 is minus 135 at BetMGM. You know, so that's not bad when you look at it. Oilers plus 2.5, Stars plus 2.5, under 7.5, minus 135. I'll probably put 3/4 of the overall amount on that one. And I'll put 1/4 of the overall amount of my wagering on the SGP that has Oilers plus 2.5, Stars plus 2.5, under 6.5, which is plus 120. So that's probably the way I'm going to approach it here, because I do think this series just overall is seeing a little bit more offensive punch and a little bit more of that trading scoring chances type of pace than what we're seeing with the Rangers and the Panthers. So that's definitely the way I'm going to go about it. I'm going to do two different SGPs here. One that has Stars plus 2.5, Oilers plus 2.5, under 7.5, minus 135. And then the other has Stars plus 2.5, Oilers plus 2.5, under 6.5, at plus 120 here in this game tonight. I also am going to take, instead of Dallas money line, which you could take at minus 130, because I really want to get behind the Dallas defensive effort tonight, which I think will be better, and especially Jake Oettinger, you know, having a better game here tonight for the Dallas Stars. Let me see what the Oilers team total is for tonight here. I'm just going to double check. BetMGM, again, is pretty good with the team totals. Because I'm tempted to look at an under with the Oilers team total tonight. I am. I just want to see what it's no, minus 155 for under 3 is a little bit too much price. Maybe a small under 2.5, because you can get that at plus 114. That's definitely, I think, going to be the approach that I take here, is under 2.5 maybe for Edmonton team total plus 114. That might be something. I'd certainly prefer that than Dallas minus 130 on the money line, because you get a nice little plus 114 price with that. Alex apparently waiting on the computer to reboot. He's in the chat, though. He likes over 1.5 in the first period. I think if you like the over early, maybe you get those quick goals early. And we have seen, I think, all but one game in this series go over in the first period, if I'm not mistaken. Pretty sure it's through the first four games, it's 3-1 to the over here in the first period of these first four games. So I agree with that approach, that if you do like over here tonight, yeah, game one went under in the first period. Game two, three, and four, they all went over in the first period. So, I think definitely when you look at this situation here tonight with the Oilers and the Stars, if the over early in the game, a little bit more preferred. So I would definitely look in that direction for sure. If you like over, go with it over 1.5 early in the game. And then it might slow down from there. But for me, primary bet is going to be the 7.5 same game parlay. So that's Edmonton +2.5, Dallas +2.5, and under 7.5, minus 135. And I also have a smaller piece of Edmonton +2.5, Dallas +2.5, and under 6.5 here tonight, +120 is the price with that one. At BetMGM. And then as far as player props tonight are concerned for this one, I can't make a move too much on Dallas props other than to say Ben's for sure on the ticket tonight. Remember, he scored in game two of this series, the very first goal of the game. He might even be worth a first goal shot again, like with game two of this series, because captain needs to respond, because that's not Dallas Stars standard of hockey for the last 2.5 periods of game four. And who better to respond to a game like that than the captain, right? Jamie Benn, who again, after the overtime loss, the double overtime loss in game one, ended up striking. I like Jamie Benn goal. I would even sprinkle on first goal. Wyatt Johnston, 100%. He hasn't been an issue in this series. He scored the first goal in game four. Wyatt to score a goal, get an assist, the over 1.5 points. I know Alex took a shot with that. In game four, is his bargain bin special. It fell just short, but I think it's not the worst idea in the world to come right back to it and take a shot at a very nice plus price here with the over 1.5 points here for Wyatt Johnston here tonight in this game. You know, for the Edmonton Oilers, you look at Perry and McLeod with Draisaitl. I give Chris Knobloch all the credit. I'm like, I didn't believe Warren Fogel fully deserved being taken out, but he did take him out in game four. And Perry and McLeod go in, and Perry gets an assist, and McLeod gets the first goal for Edmonton that got him going. So you got to give Knobloch his flowers for that, for making those moves and putting Broberg in on the blue line as well. And he played great. Yeah, I thought he played a nice, solid, sound game. Put it this way, you didn't hear Philip Broberg's name in game four, and that's a good thing. He didn't screw up. You know, he gave them good, steady, solid minutes for the Oilers in game four. So his moves went well. I would probably look again at Nugent Hopkins too. They're still great value. I know he's been quiet in this series, but as long as he's playing with David and you're still getting over plus 300 with him to score a goal, it's worth a look. Ekholm, he scored in the last game, albeit an empty netter, but he's been really shooting the puck more. Bouchard, the two big blue liners for Edmonton, they're always worth a look, you know, as far as maybe getting on the board and scoring. So Those are some of the Oilers props I would look at. I also feel it could be a Miro night, especially if Tanev's a no-go. Miro Heiskanen steps up. He's going to play just a shit ton of minutes. Don't be shocked if Miro plays close to 30 minutes tonight if Chris Tanev's out. He is that kind of defenseman. He'll take up the minutes. He's played a lot of minutes before in other years and other situations. And I don't think Peter DeBoer will shy away from just riding Miro Heiskanen quite a bit tonight if Chris Tanev doesn't go. So maybe a small shot with him to maybe get on the board and score a goal tonight as well. All right, here he is. You know him, Jimmy Murphy, our good friend, who made some big news today on Twitter that there's going to be some changes coming up for our guy, Jimmy Murphy, in the future, leaving his post at Boston Hockey Now. But from all indications, Jimmy, and you can fill us in, I'm sure you probably there's still details that have to be ironed out and you're waiting for announcements to be made. But this is far from the end of the one and only Jimmy Murphy, is it?
Yes, yes. This is not over at all. You know what? It's just sometimes you reach a time where it's time to move on. And that time came with Boston Hockey Now. No hard feelings. I wish Dan Kangarski and National Hockey Now the best. They've got a great thing going there and it will only get better. But you know, as time has gone on here over the season, I've just become more involved with the podcast and Pierre and what we got going on there at the Sick Podcast Network. And we've got some stuff that we're working on, and I'm going to be pretty much 100% focused all in on that. So it was time to move on from Boston Hockey Now. I'll still do some Bruins coverage. I'll still be freelancing. I don't know where yet, but I'll find somewhere to land. But yeah, it was good. It was just fun being part of something from the ground up and launching it and building it into what it's become. You know, I want to thank all my readers and followers and all the Bruins fans out there for all the kind words today and all the support they've shown over the last 5 years and all the support they continue to show over at the eye test. So no, it's not bad news. It's just another chapter, as we know. That's the way of this business.
I'll be honest. It sounds like, and I actually think it's going to be great personally for you because obviously you've, and plus two, you've moved recently. You've got a new relationship.
I'm further away from the rink now. Yeah. So I can't exactly be at the rink every day like I used to without driving an hour there, an hour back. And usually it's longer with traffic. So yeah, it's going to be a little less stressful, I think. I'll put it that way. You know, I'll have more control over my workload, my schedule, and stuff like that. So it's definitely going to be less stressful and I'm hoping more profitable.
No doubt. And you're hitching your wagon to the eye test and why not? I think it's a great show you guys got going. I think it's building a following, building an audience. I think you've gradually done that over the course of what the half season that you've been on since it started. Like I said, it's a great show because they really dive in Pierre and Jimmy to the nuts and bolts, like player evaluations, you know, stuff they see during the game with their own two eyes, hence the eye test. And they just break it down every game in depth too. Like they'll say, oh, you know what? I think maybe I take this guy out, put this guy in, make some changes. Just the really diving in depth to each series, especially here in the playoffs. So it's a great show. You have some good guests and you're like us here with the Ice Guys. Like we're running right till the end of the season. Mm-hmm. And I think you're going all the way till probably the day after free agency, right?
Yeah. We're going to go
to the show.
Yeah, we're going to go full time, and I appreciate the compliments, Ian. We're going to go full time until July 2nd. So it's Monday to Friday, 4 to 5 p.m. still, till July 2nd. And then what I think we're going to do is probably do like one a week on a Wednesday midweek, so it kind of stays fresh, you know, from the weekend and leading into the next weekend. So that's what we're looking at for now. But we're really excited. I don't know if I've mentioned it since I knew for sure on here. We're going to be at the draft. We're heading to Las Vegas, going to the draft at the Sphere, but in the 2 days leading in there. So I'm going to get out there that Wednesday, the 26th. And then we don't have a location set up yet. When I have the details, I'll let you know. But we will be broadcasting live from somewhere in Las Vegas. Apparently, according to Pierre, it might be, at a sports bar that, George McPhee is a regular at, he's the one that might be setting it up for us. So, we might be getting him on the podcast as well one of those days. So we'll be broadcasting live from Vegas on the 27th and 28th because the 28th is the first round on Friday night.
Yep.
And then Saturday we'll be doing something remotely because Pierre's got to get back to Boston. I don't know if you know, but Pierre actually trains, you know, drafted and undrafted prospects throughout the summer in the off season, gets them ready. And, you know, he's had numerous players are playing in the pros right now. He trains right outside of Boston near where I grew up. And his kids, a lot of them in the camp, are going to be going to development camps for pro teams right. on July 1st. So Pierre's going to do camp on that Thursday. He's going to fly out at night on Thursday night, do the podcast with me Friday and Saturday. Friday and Saturday. And then he's going to fly back and be there for his camp. So, yeah, he's a maniac. I love it, though. He loves the game. He just loves hockey.
That's pretty cool. So he's got working in his hockey camps with all these prospects and getting them ready for their hockey career and trying to help them with that. And then in the meantime, in between this camp stints, he's going to do the little 2-day detour there to Las Vegas to be on site for the NHL draft with you for the eye test. So, yeah, that's great. That's awesome stuff. So there you go. Jimmy Murphy, Pierre Maguire, the eye test live on location. In Las Vegas during the NHL draft, those 2 days, great stuff.
We'll do a hit with you as well, my friend.
No, absolutely, anytime.
Yeah, you let us know before we go on air. So,
yeah, no question. Yeah, absolutely, no doubt about that. We'll have to arrange that. So again, Jimmy and Pierre for the draft coming up at the end of June. Looking forward to that. We again with Jimmy's future. We wish him well wherever it may lead. No doubt. Speaking of the future, Alex's computer. It's up and running. It's back, and so is he. What's going on, Alex?
Yeah, computer done. One phone done. Other phone running up. So I don't know. AT&T needs to better organize that kind of shit. But yeah, no time like the president. So glad to be on before the show ended.
No doubt. Yeah, I pretty much said all I needed to say about this game, Alex. So we'll just throw it. Well, actually, first, Alex, any thoughts from last night? Rangers-Panthers. Panthers up 3-2 with a chance to send the Rangers home in Game 6.
Well, like you said, the Panthers are you know, just kind of just dominating the series. They're beating down the Rangers, and this is a Rangers team that, you know, normally they're usually able to kind of out-bully some of their opponents in the playoffs. But every once in a while, they run into a wall. And I think that wall now is, like I said, the Florida defense that seems to get better and better over the time. You mentioned earlier on the show Gustav Forsling. This guy was, you know, I remember watching him at the Hawks, and it seemed like he was just going to be another just kind of big, you know, stick in the road, not really do too much. He has developed his game so much just this year alone, but certainly since he's left the Hawks organization. And to see him develop and blossom into a top-tier defenseman has been kind of fun to watch, honestly. So wish him well. And like I said, you know, this is just a team. They have that killer instinct now. They've proven that from last year and even how they've been able to take care of business in the two series of this year. And I think the Rangers are in deep trouble. They're going to need Igor to be on his A++ game for the next two games. Obviously, if they're going to win it, but I don't know if that's going to happen.
No, it's going to be very, very difficult for them. There's no question, I think, at this point. And Jimmy, I'll throw it to you with your thoughts on last night's Game 5 win for the Panthers. But I said it earlier, I don't think anything encapsulates the way this series has gone, especially the last few games, than the final 10 or 15 seconds of that third period last night, where there's Nico Mikkola just ragging the puck along the boards. Yeah. Holding it there, 3-4 Rangers trying to get the puck away from him in a battle of will, in a battle of physicality, and none of them can get the puck from him, and the time runs out. That's been the series in a nutshell. One-on-one battles, Florida's winning them. Physicality, Florida's winning. Harder on pucks, tougher on pucks, winning board battles, winning one-on-one battles all over the ice, and they're winning way more of them, and the Rangers are having a hard time doing anything about it.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. And good on the refs to not blow the whistle there, too. I know, you know, sometimes you get that trigger whistle going there when it gets tied up, but it was never fully tied up. So good on them to not do that. But yeah, look, I mean, you know, like we always like to say in the famous words of Dennis Green, you know, they are what we thought they were. And we let them off the hook. We let them off. I mean, that's it. They should just play that over and over on loop when it comes to the Florida Panthers, because it's not like they're throwing any surprises at us. It's not like they're changing up their game plan every night, or they're really altering the lineup, or they've got some secret player that they're bringing in and it hasn't done anything. And it's just the same thing every night. Like they just win the same way every single night because they buy in and they don't veer away no matter what the score is, whether they're winning or losing. In a game, they do not veer away from their system and their game plan. And I know that sounds easy to do to us, but when you're in the middle of a game, a playoff game at that, and you're in the intensity and the moment and everything, and you know, momentum can swing one way or the other. There's a reason not many teams are able to do what the Florida Panthers are doing, because it's difficult. It's difficult to not get swept up in a moment, right? And you know, like the U2 song. So it's stuck in a moment, you know, like they don't get stuck ever in the moment. And that's what impresses me the most about the Florida Panthers, is that they are who they are. They know it, and they're fine with it in any type of game or any type of moment that's thrown at them. And that's why they're up in a series. However, I am going to say this, and I know, you know, you guys won't, I won't be on with you tomorrow, but I am going to say this, and it just because it makes no sense, and it's just the way a lot of these playoff series have gone, I think it's going back to New York. I really do. I think that the Rangers, I liked a lot more of what I saw from the Rangers last night.
Oh, yeah. First period was very good.
The first period was very good. Yeah. Now, that being said, it was like almost watching that slow train wreck, the way things kind of deteriorated for them, because you could see the Panthers wearing them down. And they know that Lindgren and Adam Fox are clearly hurt, because they are finishing off every single check they can on them and just beating them down in the corners. It's clear they know, and they're targeting them. And hey, that may sound barbaric to people, but like, as I've said before, and I know people came at me in the Florida-Boston series on Twitter, saying, oh, you're wishing violence on a play. I'm like, I'm not wishing violence on a play. I'm stating a simple fact. And Brad Marchand stated a couple days later after I said it, that's the goal of the playoffs. You're going out there to hurt people. You're not, this isn't, you know, some ballet.
I don't see anything barbaric about winning a Stanley Cup.
Yeah, exactly. That's what the Panthers do. And that's why they're up in the series. But I do have this weird feeling it goes back to MSG.
Yep. That's just what you do. Yeah. 100%.
It's playoff hockey. It's playoff hockey. I can't. Yeah. I've said that maybe 2,000 times since April. Yeah. It's fucking playoff hockey.
99% of the time, the Panthers do it within the rules.
Yeah,
like they're not 99% of the time. It's not a dirty shot. Like, you know, you can. I think Sam Bennett got away with one in that series against the Bruins, and there's been a couple other things where he's done. But it's all borderline. It's not like they crossed the line tremendously, and they really.
And even if you do cross the line, Rafi Torres barreling into Marian Hossa in 2012,
yeah,
that fueled them all the way to a Western Conference Final. That team had no fucking business even being out of the first round. So
exactly.
Sometimes even playing dirty can help.
Alf Samuelson way back in the day. I'm showing my age, but he ended.
No, I remember. You
know, that I think is a little too flagrant. Like. Yeah. I don't like leg on leg.
It is.
No matter what, I don't like that. I mean, it, because you could end a guy's career that way.
Yeah.
You know, but it's part of the game. It's playoff hockey. It is what it is. So the Panthers are good at it. They really are. They figured out a way to just walk that line perfectly. And like I said, stay in the moment.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no question. The Panthers and they've worn down the Rangers, and especially like the last three games, the longer it's gone on. Each game they just wear down and they get better. It's just like the Bruins series. Bruins had a couple of games there. They got out to that 1-0 lead. They'd get the first goal. And then there's Florida just wearing them down. Second period, third period, they get stronger and the opponent wears down a little bit more as the game goes on. It's been kind of that pattern. You talk about Jimmy, the Panthers have had some great moments in this series. So has their coach, Paul Maurice, with the press conferences. I got to play this because it's not only another funny moment, but he makes a great point about the giveaway stat. He was stunned that he heard the stat sheet said his team had just one giveaway last night. He clearly didn't buy it, and neither do I. There's no way, come on, that a team in a 60-minute hockey game is a team only has one giveaway? Come on. That's impossible to me that's a thing. And Maurice mentioned that in the press conference. It's absolutely hysterical. Another great exchange from him in the post game last night. Here it is. Oh, hold on one sec. We'll just gotta get the sharing there. There we go.
Paul, you guys, according to the stat sheet, had just one giveaway tonight. Is that something that you?
That is awesome.
Is that something?
Don't tell me Bobrovsky had it.
No. Do you want to know who was?
Yeah, who was it?
Hecky.
Oh, he's out.
Is that something that you guys talked about, or I mean, you were surprised by it? So I don't know if.
No, you know what? Be fair, I don't follow the qualification of what a giveaway is. There were so many puck battles on the walls that I thought we had control of the puck that we didn't make a play, and it's into their feet, and then they get possession of it. I would count that as a giveaway. I think the change of possession, it's either forced or it's not in some ways. What am I trying to say? I think there's a hell of a lot more giveaways in that game for two coaches, and Ekblad's out.
Oh, man, there it is from Paul Maurice there. And Ekblad was apparently the one player on the team with the registered one giveaway that happened for the Panthers, so he's kidding around that he's out now. But what I like what he said about a giveaway there. Like, I agree with what he said. If you are in a puck battle and a puck is on a Panther stick, you try to pass the puck, it hits a skate, or it's in some player's feet. Doesn't matter if it's your own player or the opposing player, and then they get possession. Isn't that a giveaway? Shouldn't that be registered as a giveaway?
I don't know anymore, guys.
I don't know anymore either. It's like shots on goal, Jimmy, and that's what I said to Alex in our DM last night. Like, what's a shot on goal? What is it? What's a giveaway now? What isn't? We don't know.
Do you know how many times they changed that during a game this year? There was something going on. I have no idea what happened with their system that registers the shots, but, I mean, so many times this season I had to go back into my game story later at night or early in the morning – because I'd seen somebody be like, you got the shots wrong. I'm like, what? No, I didn't. That's what it said at the end of the game. And then they would go back in and change it. And they don't send you any notification. Oh, by the way, we changed the shot count. Nothing. No notification, nothing. It was just horrendous this year, and it still is.
Yeah. It's like, and now giveaways are another category now where it's a good thing we can't bet those giveaways and takeaways with props, because that would be experiencing the same fucking frustration that we do right now with shots on goal.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, exactly. With one, is that a giveaway or is that not? I thought that was a giveaway. They didn't credit it to me in my prop here. That's the way I feel about shots on goal these days. So it's the frustrating part. I agree. I'm with Paul Maurice though. For as well as his team played last night, one giveaway for the whole game, I'm not buying it. I am not buying that at all. That Florida only had one giveaway last night in 60 minutes of hockey. I'm just not buying that shit. Sorry. It's got to be a misprint of some kind, no doubt. He is great, though. There's no question. And one win away from his third Stanley Cup final as a NHL head coach. All right, Edmonton-Dallas. I've already spoken all about this. Alex, Game 5, how are you approaching it here? Oilers-Stars.
Well, like I said, not betting aside, because obviously whoever wins this, we're now getting into the 6-game, 7-game stack. So I'm going with the first period over, 1.5. Minus $1.10, playing it kind of smaller than usual, and we'll be looking for a live under if we can cash that. So I think we can get maybe two quick goals. We've seen this happen, in this stage before, but the goals will come kind of fairly fast, and then things slow down. They make adjustments after that first intermission, and then this could be more of an under game. This probably will be just like I didn't bet the first period over last night. This will probably be the last one I bet in the conference finals, because now we hit the 6-game, 7-game territory. This is where things turn into unders. So definitely we'll be on the first period over and then looking for a live under after that.
Yeah, I don't mind first period over. Like I said, I'm on the SGPs again. That's been it worked out again last night, Jimmy. Rangers plus 2.5, Panthers plus 2.5, and under 6.5 in a same game parlay, plus 105, plus 100. These have been just phenomenal bets. Like I've won way more than not so far in the playoffs. And that's kind of what I feel tonight. I know the last two games went over in Edmonton, but the two games in Dallas, Game 1 and 2, went under. And I think it kind of gets a little tighter again here tonight in Game 5. So I'm going to go right back to the well. Edmonton plus 2.5, Dallas plus 2.5, and under 7.5, minus 135 with that. And a smaller bet on Edmonton plus 2.5, Dallas plus 2.5, and under 6.5, which you can get at plus 120. So like I say, I like the, and again, all we need is a 1 or 2 goal game, fewer than, with the under 7.5, 7 or fewer goals, and with the under 6.5 SGP, 6 or fewer goals. And I think that's a good approach tonight for not only Game 5, but Game 6 and 7 as well, because as Alex alluded to, I do think we're going to see things tighten up here the last three games of this series. What do you think here, Jimmy? Game 5, Edmonton, Dallas.
I mean, I'm loving the under in this. I really do. Like, I agree with you guys. I think it's going to be few and far between chances there. The margin for error is getting thinner and thinner. So that's my big one there with that. I'm also looking, guys, in terms of goal scorers, and this is a guy that I think has just been he's been due. He's really been due, and I'm looking over at Edmonton right now, and that's Evander Kane. I just got a feeling he's due for a big game, guys. Like, he's got to step up. Like, this is when they need what they got him for from Evander Kane. They need him to be clutch right now. So give me Evander Kane to score a goal. I'm looking at plus 290 on DraftKings.
Yeah, and no doubt, Skinner had after a tough start where the first goal was a great shot by Johnston, and there's nothing he could have done about the second Lindell goal because it was off Darnell Nurse's backside and in. After that, he played a really good game four, I thought, Stu Skinner. After that bad goal he gave up to the third Robertson goal that gave him the hat trick in game three, that's one he should have had, but he played a lot better in game four. You know, I think he played solid in the first two games in Dallas, but more importantly, I think Jake Oettinger is going to have a tremendous game. I just got that feeling in my bones about it with Jake Oettinger tonight because, you know, the whole team and even him, not the best in game four. I think he really responds tonight here in game five with a much better game, which obviously helps your underthinking if you think it's going to be a lower scoring here tonight. All right, great stuff. Shout out to everyone in the chat at the like button if you haven't done so already. A reminder, sign up patreon.com/iceguys, just $10 a month. So here's the way it's going to go, by the way, and you should sign up because if there's game sevens, whether it's one game seven or two game sevens next week, we will be on for one game seven live betcast. We won't do betcast for both. Just one of the two game sevens, assuming both go to game seven, we'll make a choice which one it will be. And it will be a Patreon exclusive live betcast. So again, game seven live betcast for if we have one game seven, obviously that's the series that we're going to do the game seven betcast for. And if they're both series go to game sevens, we'll pick one. And that one will be our Patreon exclusive live betcast. Game seven, either Monday or Tuesday next week would be the game sevens. So make sure you're aware of that. So that's next week, and it's a Patreon-exclusive live betcast, Game 7 of one of these two conference finals, if necessary. So make sure you sign up, $10 per month, patreon.com/iceguys to be part of that. Our daily sides totals and player props posted on the page there every day. Goalie charts, totals charts, our off-season content coming up after the season as well. So make sure you sign up, just $10 per month. patreon.com/iceguys, and check out the Ice Guys store. Get your gear and your merch at iceguys.myspreadshop.com.
Yeah, we got nearly everything in stock. I know some of the caps might be running low on inventory, but all the t-shirts, all the hoodies, everything else, all fully in stock right now over at the Ice Guys store, so check that on out. That's iceguys.myspreadshop.com.
All right, good stuff indeed. Kevin, I'll tell you that, and thank you, Kevin, for the kind words about the VSiN segment last night. Always fun being on with Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds. Good stuff. I'm glad you enjoyed it. But yeah, as far as if I didn't have the Dallas futures, I'd take Dallas tonight. I really would, -130. But I don't want to, and I don't need to. You know, I've got them to win the series. That's good enough for me. Let's let it play out here tonight with game five. All right, we'll be back to wrap up the show with Bargain Bin Special of the Night and Best Bets coming up right after we hear from our great sponsor. Boston and Pink, make sure you check them out. Get 20% off all orders on the website using the promo code ICEGUYS at bostonhempinc.com. Sponsors every day of the show, including today's Beantown Friday edition. All right, Bargain Bin Special of the Night. Got an encore to follow from last night. We cashed with Sam Bennett, a little empty net magic, plus 440 for my Bargain Bin Special of the Night last night with Rangers Panthers. See if we can find another one in the Bargain Bin to cash with tonight. Alex, though, we'll start with you first. What do you like in the Bargain Bin tonight?
Yeah, we each cashed one with empty net goals this week, so that's nice to see. But this one, I doubt it would be an empty netter because I like one of the first goals of the game here. And I need to mention Jamie Benn, who, of course, had cashed one for us in the series already with Dallas and Edmonton. But I'm going with Tyler Seguin tonight to get the first goal for Dallas in this contest. Plus 2,100 available at FanDuel. I think he can get things off until he rolls into a good start. So Tyler Seguin to get the first goal of the game for the Stars. Plus 2,100. That is my bargain special for the night.
There you go. Tyler Seguin, first goal, 21-1, plus 2,100. For Alex with his bargain bin special of the night. Jimmy, what do you like here? Bargain bin special.
Yeah, he had an assist the other night, guys, on the shorthanded winner there. So give me Connor Brown to find the back of the net tonight. I'm looking at plus 650 here.
All right, there we go. Connor Brown for the Edmonton. I like his. He's played well. He's played well. I don't think that's a bad look at all. Maybe think Connor Brown plus 650. For Connor Brown to find the back of the net for the Edmonton Oilers for Jimmy Murphy with his bargain bin special of the night. All right, best bets. You know what? It's funny. I'm going to go with the best bet that I actually haven't mentioned yet because I've talked myself into it while we were running the ads. I like the SGP. I was going to make one of the SGPs my best bet again, and I really like both SGPs, but we'll go with something else for variety purposes. Alex, we'll start with you. What do you like for best bet?
Yeah, we'll go with that first period over 1.5. Minus $1.10, Dallas Edmonton. Like I said, it's probably the last one we bet here in this series. Obviously, as we get in this game sixes and game sevens, those championship rounds, if you will, things start to slow down. But I think, especially possibly with Tanev, there could be a little bit more open ice early. Get these first two goals, and then we'll try to look for a live under as things slow down once the teams make adjustments. So, first period over 1.5, minus $1.10 with Dallas and Edmonton tonight. My best bet.
All right, there it is. Edmonton-Dallas over 1.5, minus 110, first period. Best bet for Alex B. Smith. Jimmy, what do you got for best bet?
I'm looking at the under 6, guys. I'm just feeling a tight game, maybe a 3-2 type game. So give me the under 6 as my best bet.
All right, and under 6 is available at many books, minus 130 or so. So make sure you shop around and look around for that that under, because there's sixes out there. And if you like the under, you should be taking the under when it comes to six, that because multiple books have it. Don't settle for the 5.5. Find the 6. Right. All right. My best bet for this game tonight, game 5. There's two bets I'm going to go with here as well that I haven't mentioned yet. Dallas to score in the first period, minus 160. That's been a good bet. Team off a loss scoring in the opening period. But I'm going to take the shot on them leading after the first 20 minutes here tonight in game 5, and I'm going to go with Dallas first period puck line plus 188 at Pinnacle is the best price out there. It's a great price. So Dallas Stars minus -0.5 plus 188 first period puck line. I feel I'd much rather take a shot with that than take Dallas full game money line minus 130, especially when I'm invested in them to win the conference and win the Stanley Cup anyway. So yeah, Dallas first period puck line. Let's go with that, plus 188 for my best bet here for Game 5 tonight with the Oilers and the Stars. All right, great stuff. Again, Jimmy with the announcement, he'll be no longer reporting on Boston hockey now, but lots of great stuff in the future. Make sure you check out Jimmy and Pierre Maguire, top of the hour with the eye test coming up at 4 p.m. Eastern time this afternoon. Shout out to everyone in the chat, hit the like button. A reminder, we only have one show this weekend, Saturday at noon Eastern, and we're going to do both weekend game sixes on Saturday. No show on Sunday, and then we'll be back on Monday. A reminder, the Ice Guys is live 7 days a week, Monday to Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern, Saturday and Sunday, noon Eastern. If you can't watch the show live, download the Ice Guys podcast in audio form on all major podcast platforms and also on the True TV Plus app. Download the app to check out the Ice Guys. True TV Plus, you can download it on all Roku, Amazon, and Apple devices. For Alex B. Smith and Jimmy Murphy, I'm Ian Cameron. Have a great Friday. Enjoy the games and good luck. And we will be back tomorrow on Saturday for another edition of the Ice Guys.